walking over to the far side. I don't know whether we've got kids here, but we will have children's church today. So we've got kids to go with to children's church. Grace is in the back, and we'll be taking them downstairs. See, I remembered to get that in this time.
Really only because I've got it written on the top of my sheet with a red pen. Otherwise, I managed to forget that. So, first, I'm not Patrick. I'm not Kevin. I'm not Ken. I'm not Troy. I'm me. So, now, they're all better looking than I am, so you're just going to have to put up with me. And I keep trying. I succeeded last time to, you know, not preach until the 14th hour. So we're going to see if I can get that to work today as well. So, you know, sometimes you look at the title for a sermon and you go, oh, this makes sense. And you read the scripture and you go, okay, I can work with this. Well, when I was asked to cover this week, they started out giving me the scripture, the 8th Psalm. And I went, I can work with this. And then a couple of days later, I got the title for it, Made in His Image. And I actually had at least one person who said, how are you getting in His image out of the 8th Psalm? I said, that will be a little bit of a trick, but I'm going to do it. So, thank you for the encouragement, Danny. By the way, there was one thing, and Evan actually covered. I was going to say, Danny, I really don't care how many days till spring. Can you tell me how many days till we are above freezing? I'd have been very happy with that. So, but before I tie in His image to the 8th Psalm, I want to talk for a few minutes about the Psalms more in general. The Psalms are an amazing collection of writings. And virtually every book in the Bible has a theme. It has something that connects all the chapters. And so I started looking at the Psalms going, what connects all of these chapters? And that was not the bell. It did not save you. And so what do they have in common? What connects them? And I went, what connects the Psalms is they talk to our human condition, our human emotion. You can go into the Psalms and find something for almost anything that you're feeling at that day or at that moment. So the Psalms are something that's there to speak to us. So let's just look a little bit at that. When we feel up or excited or joyful, there are Psalms for that. Can use 18, 29, 36, 99, for example. When we feel down or alone, there's Psalms to talk to us then. 4, 17, 20, 37. Notice they're not all, they don't group them nicely so that, you know, the first 10 are for when we're joyful, the next 10 cover when we're anxious. So they're all interspersed so we can find something to talk to us. When we're at peace and we're feeling contented, there's Psalms for us then. 29, 46, 76, to name a few. When we're thankful, there's Psalms to talk to us. 30, 65, 67, 92. There's quite a long list there for when we're thankful. When we need guidance or wisdom, I know I feel like I'm there frequently. There's Psalms to talk to us then as well. 25, 43, 80, 85. There's Psalms for more specific times. Psalms for the morning. Psalms for the evening. When we're ready to worship, there's Psalms to talk to us in worship. There's songs, psalms that are prayers. So there's a psalm for virtually everything. Now, one of the things that as I look through the surveys of the psalms, I found interesting. Anybody want to guess what the most psalm, what topic the most psalms are there to cover? God knew we were going to need help. He knew we were going to feel troubled. He knew there were going to be times we were going to need direction. There are 21 psalms in that grouping. There are short psalms. Anybody want to guess what the shortest psalm is?
117.
Very good, Danny. And how many verses are in that psalm?
One or two? One, I think.
Two. Two psalms. Then what's the longest psalm? By the way, so that's for a short read. That's for somebody who's like myself that has a short attention span. Now, the longest psalm, it also happens to be the longest chapter in the Bible, is 118 right next to it with 147 verses. So the shortest and the longest are set next to each other. My attention span would have trouble by the time I had to read that much. By the way, I'm not a reader, so when I have to read to prepare for this, It can be an interesting task. God understood, as our creator, our emotions could get in the way. He understood we would need support and guidance in something that could speak to us in our every emotion. God is ready to listen. God has given us something to speak to us in all of those emotions in the Psalms. So now let's go a little bit further into the eighth Psalm. The first verse starts out, "Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens." So David recognizes God's scope right at the get-go. Recognizes that he is Lord of Lords. He is the top dog, so to speak. How majestic is your name in all the earth? Now, I have to, after having just spent time studying Acts, going, how did Israel not get the fact that God was not just for them? In the Psalms, it already is said right out in the 8th Psalm, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Not just Israel, all the earth. And if it's for all the earth, I have to presume it's for everyone. So God has started out making that very clear at the start. But then, verse 1 ends with, you have set your glory in the heavens. Earth wasn't big enough. Now, we think Earth is pretty big. I think the number is like 90 miles before the curvature of the Earth starts to get it to disappear. And so the Earth was not big enough to represent God's glory. It had to expand to the heavens. Now, verse 2 says, through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. We're going to come back to that and the avenger here in just a moment. So, can you think of anything weaker or more fragile than a newborn infant? They can't sit up. They can't talk. They can't feed themselves. They are completely dependent on others. Yet, God has demonstrated his strength, his power, through children and infants. No doubt you've heard somebody say or talk about the miracle of childbirth. We've probably also heard some people ask, do miracles still exist? Have you ever considered putting those two thoughts together? Is the answer for do miracles still exist? Now, in order to make my youngest son happy, I have to point out that just because human determination figured out how God did something doesn't mean that God didn't do it. It doesn't mean it's not a miracle. It just means that human determination figured out how God did it. Now, no matter how great science believes that it is, I still don't think they can create human life without the building blocks that God provided. Now, so we've seen God demonstrate his strength and his glory through children, or through infants rather, but how many of us have put our children's or our grandchildren's Sunday school drawings or pages up at home? I know I have. And there's probably just about everybody in the room has at one time or another. So God is continuing to demonstrate his power through children. And those children, that phrase from the mouth of babes, well, they're demonstrating God's strength for us. Now, all of the glory created by God is a stronghold against his enemies. Now, most of us probably think of the term Avengers, and we want to think of people who are doing good, people who are trying to right wrongs. However, that's something that's reserved for God. Humans don't get to make the decision about what's right and wrong. God gets to make that decision. And so God is the one to deal with enemies and avengers. Verse 3 and 4. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. Let's consider for a moment the vastness of creation. Well, we get to clearly see, at least most days, we don't get to see as much sun or moon as we might like at this time of year, but we know they're there. There's light outside, so we know the sun is there. We, every now and then, we'll get a clear sky at night, and we can see the moon, and we can see stars. By some counts, they say there are billions of stars out there. David tells us this is the work of God's fingers, not his hands, not his arms, not all of his beings. He did that with his fingers. So this tells me that God must be awfully big, awfully powerful, if he can do that with his fingers. Now, consider how we just identified God's greatness. He creates us, he provides for us, he cares for us. David assures us in verse 4 that God is going to care for us. This is where some of the Psalms, some of those other Psalms, start to talk to us when we get doubt that comes in, when we're facing problems, when we're facing fears, when we're facing trouble. Those Psalms are there to talk to us. Our humanness is not immune to doubt or worry or needing reassurance, even when we know God is there to take care of us. Verse 5, you've made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. Remember, I made this comment about study and learning. Well, here's the first spot that some of the people who understand the original language of the text says the word Elohim most often gets translated as God or God's image. That's used here in verse 5. So this is the first time. Now, in this case, I'm depending upon people who understand the original language of the Bible in order to draw that inference. But now let us go on through 6 through 8, and let me draw a more practical illustration for his image. Beginning in verse 6, You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds, and animals of the wild, the birds of the sky, the fish of the sea, and all that swim the paths of the sea. David makes an important observation here. We've been given the job as caretakers of the creation that God has put us in. Now, mankind's been given a huge responsibility as a caretaker. But let's think about what it means to be a caretaker. Caretakers are presumed to have some attributes given by whoever has put us in charge of being a caretaker. So, for those of you that were or are in management and business, one of the things that you're expected to do is to identify successors, identify people that you have put something into who are going to be prepared to start to take over for you. Some of you have been or are teachers. I feel quite certain as teachers, you've poured into your students, you've guided the students. Some part of your image is in those students. Shepherds. And in this case, I'm not talking about the term as we understand it in the Bible. I'm talking about the shepherds out in the fields and the flocks. When a shepherd is put out there to care for them, some portion of what they have is being given to care for those flocks. So from that, if God has appointed us caretakers over his creation, I have to presume he's put some part of his image into us. If not, how did he expect us to accomplish this task? Now, verse 9, David repeats verse 1. Why? Maybe after he got done writing 2 through 8, he said, this is so significant, I need to repeat myself. That's commonly used in writing. Say it once, say it twice in order to see if people really got it. God made the heavens, the sun, the moon, and billions of stars. God made man, provided a role for man. God made us worthy of the role he provided. So now, by the way, I didn't say this when we started. I've tried to follow the rules of a sermon with 3 points. We started talking about Psalms, then we went to Psalm 8. Now we're going to go talk about in his image. So what comes to mind when we talk about in his image? Have you considered or thought about what goes into an image? I know that I have. See, I came from a family that was very involved in photography. I grew up around cameras of all sizes. One of my brothers was a professional photographer. One of my brothers was a retoucher. I have no idea if the two of those had any relationship to each other. But so I've been around photography and cameras for a long time. Let's take a deeper look for a moment about what goes into an image. Well, when you look at a picture or you look at an image, what's one of the first things that you notice about it? Is focus. Is the image sharp? Is it blurry? Is it fuzzy? Was the object of the image or the picture moving fast so that it's fuzzy or blurry? Some photographers will use focus or lack thereof to express an artistic expression. So what's the first thing that you think of when you see a picture and it's not in clear focus? What's the first thing you think about? Is it a mistake? Is it deliberate? Why is that? The next thing that comes in to a picture or an image is there's exposure. How bright or how dark is that picture? When a picture is bright or dark, what do you draw from that image? Do you think happy or sad? What feelings does that image evoke for you? Now I'm going to get a little deeper into this idea of image. There's something called, in photography, depth of field. How much is in focus? Is just the subject in focus? Or are the things in front of the subject and behind the subject in focus? So there's depth of field. Those are the three main things that we see about an image. But now, when you're taking a picture using a camera, there are settings. And Cliff, I'm sure I'm boring you on part of this because I know how many pictures you take. Well, I've got a guess, I should say. These attributes that I've talked about in image are affected by aperture. How big is the opening in the lens? How much light is being allowed in? Shutter speed. How long is the shutter open to let that light in? Film speed. How long does it take to expose that film? So there's a lot of attributes involved in getting a good image. Now, we've gotten pretty spoiled, I have to admit. You know, the first camera that I had was not autofocus, was not auto anything. I was really good at creating too light, too dark, fuzzy. There's a lot of things that I'm not even going to attempt to share that I've managed to create. So I didn't want us to lose track of what it takes or what's involved in an image is why I went through that. That's why this is important. Because if there's that much involved in an image or a picture, how much could be involved in God's image? Well, the first thing that I thought about in here then is God is spirit. We're earthly We have presents, okay? I can get pinched and feel it. So we have physicality. How does something spiritual, or how do we get attributes of a spiritual image into our lives? Well, I thought about that, and I came up with two verses that are in the Bible that explain how we do that. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. This is the fruits of the Spirit. Most of us can probably repeat that without the need to look it up. So I want to go through, just as a refresher, those nine attributes of God's image that He is wanting us to adopt. The first one was love. John 4:16 tells us God is love. If we have love, we have part of God's spiritual image. Next was joy. Romans 15:13 tells us, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. So if we have joy, we have another attribute of spiritual image: peace. Hebrews 13:20 tells us, now may the God of peace. So if we have peace, we have part of God's spiritual image. Patience. 2 Peter 3:15 tells us, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. So if we have patience, we have part of God's spiritual image. Kindness. Titus 3:4 tells us, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, if we have kindness, we have part of God's spiritual image. Goodness. 2 Peter 1:3 tells us, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. So if we have goodness, we have another part of spiritual image. Faithfulness. Romans 3:3 tells us, will their unfaithfulness nullify God's faithfulness? If we have faithfulness, we have another portion of God's spiritual image. Gentleness. 1 Timothy 6:11 tells us, but you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Notice I probably could have gotten half the list out of one verse if I had wanted to. So if we have gentleness, we have more of God's spiritual image. Self-control, 2 Peter 1, 5 and 6 tells us, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control." And I could go on further through more of the spiritual gifts that add together. So self-control is another attribute of God's image. What I hope I've been able to convey with that is, just like a photographic image has many attributes, God's spiritual image has many attributes. As we add more of God's spiritual attributes to our lives, we become more in His image. Each one of us has some of these attributes well in control. Some are more of a challenge. I know some of them are for me. But that's okay. God knows these spiritual image attributes are going to, some are going to be easier for each person, some are going to be more difficult. God understands we're a work in progress. A work in progress means sometimes we're moving forward. Sometimes we're holding steady. And sometimes we're slipping. That's part of being human. As a church, first let me ask a question. Who enjoys riding roller coasters? Well, I think I got two hands, maybe three in the back. I was wondering how many of those I was going to get. There was a time I enjoyed doing that. So, as a church, we've been riding the proverbial spiritual roller coaster in recent months. We've seen the stress of sickness. We've seen the happiness of weddings. We've endured the pain of losing loved ones. And we've been able to see the joy of new life being born. So sometimes riding a roller coaster can be tough. It's got ups and downs. The Psalms have Psalms to cover and work with us during the down times. There's portions to help us enjoy the up times. Those ups and downs are part of riding through life. They're part of God's image is there to get us through those ups and downs. If you're slipping and need help, or you're steady and want to move forward, or the roller coaster ride is just simply too much for you, then reach out to Patrick, Kevin, Ken or Troy, or use this time to make your needs known as we stand and sing.